So we've been talking about God leads, we follow, right? And I think it's really important for us to continue to hit on that point. I know sometimes with my high schoolers, I hit points, a lot of the same points over and over again. People like Hashi, Dominic, James, who are in the group can tell you that if you're in there long enough, you're going to hear me harp on the same things. There's a point on why I do what I do. Because sometimes it takes more than once to get it through our head. So God leads, we follow. What do you think it means to follow God? What does it mean to truly follow Him? Is it to live a life of surrender or a life of submission? I think it's easy to sit here and say that we would all take the path that God has laid out for us if it was clearly marked. I think most of us would answer that question if someone asked with a certainty in our voice. Of course I would do that. But I hesitate to say that most of us in our time, in our lives, will see that path and will willingly turn away from it. It's been well said many times that the path that God wants you to take is going to be the one that is most difficult. And it might not always be a life or death thing, but in the sense of how we perceive it in regards to our comfort. We love to be comfortable, don't we? I mean, we love comfort. Whether it's, like if you walked into this church this morning, it was 30 degrees in here. That would not be very comfortable. But as I was preparing this lesson, I'm thinking to myself, wow, you know, I have a TV and I'm in my warm house and I'm on my comfy couch and I went to sleep in my nice warm bed and all those are comforts and I like to be comfortable. I have this electric blanket that Jen got for Christmas. Jen is my wife. You notice how I said that? I have this blanket that she got for Christmas. She made the mistake of letting me borrow it one night. And it's so warm and comfy. It is nice. It's zebra print, which is really not my thing, but I don't care. And it's warm and comfy. I'll rock the zebra print all day long. So it's migrated its way over to my couch. She has her little couch. I have my couch. It's migrated from her couch to my couch. And I've adopted it as my own now. I will give it back once it gets warm. Don't worry. Just kidding. But it's I love it because it makes me so comfortable when I'm sitting there. Sometimes you have those that kind of get a little bit warm. This one literally will burn your skin off. It's perfect for me. But I started thinking about it. It's about comfort. Like we live our lives trying to be comfortable, right? So my question to you is, do you think that God wants you to be comfortable or to be used? Now, I know that God would much rather you be used and be uncomfortable than for you to be comfortable and be stagnant, right? There are many stories in the Bible of people being used in a mighty way for God. They all have one thing in common. God led and they followed. Do you think that they weren't afraid? Do you think that they didn't have doubts? No, of course they did. But they trusted and they obeyed. A couple of things that remind me in the Bible, the stories are like the story of Elijah. God tells him, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go to this stream and you're going to wait for me. And he's sitting there and the stream, you know, starts out. It's pretty good. You know, he can reach down, get some water, and then it starts dwindling, 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 and then it's gone. He's got to be thinking, what is your plan right now, God? Like, I'm not understanding this. And then he has to go and confront Ahab who wants him killed. Or Samuel who goes and there's already a king, but he has to go and name the true king. Something that he was like, well, are you serious? Like, how am I going to get in there? These people are going to know. And they're not going to like that very much. But they trusted and they followed. And there's so many. I mean, that's just right off the top of my head. There's so many more like that. But I want to talk to you about Moses and the story about how he led Israelites out of bondage in Egypt. Now, I know It's a well-known story, and you've probably heard it many times. And if you have kids, there's a cartoon called The Prince of Egypt that's really cool. It's kind of, you know, goes a little bit with it. They take certain liberties with it, but it's still pretty cool. And it kind of goes along with that. Allow me to shed some light really quickly on some of the subtle things in the story that might be overlooked. Maybe you caught it. Maybe you didn't. But if you have your Bibles, grab them. Open to Exodus 3, chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. And it says, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And this is God talking to Moses. "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?' He said, 'But I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain.'" God was commanding Moses to do a very difficult task. I mean, he was basically asking him to go back into enemy territory, a place where he was known to be a murderer. Moses was known to be a murderer. And command the Pharaoh, the king of the land, to command him to let the Israelites go. Immediately, right off the bat, Moses started questioning God's command, right? "Who am I that I should go? Like, don't you, surely there's got to be somebody better than me to do this. There's somebody probably stronger, you know, much better than me to be leading this type of endeavor." It's obvious from what he thought that Moses didn't really think that was a very good plan for Moses. So in Exodus 4, chapter 4, verse 10, he gave another excuse as to why he would not be the ideal person for God to choose. And it says, "But Moses said to the Lord, 'Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and tongue.' Then the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Therefore now go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak.'" I love God's response to Moses. He's like, "Who made your mouth? Like, I made you. Don't you think I know what you can and cannot do?" And then God's next command is for Moses to just go. "I will be with you, your mouth, and I will teach you what to speak." God wanted Moses just to start moving towards what he was calling him to do. Just to move. Instead of making excuses on why he wasn't the guy for the job. Does this sound familiar? It should. We tend to fall victim to this all the time. We tend to think that there's someone that could do it better than us. We try to wait until the perfect time in our minds for us to decide if we're going to move or not. God's telling Moses right there, "I will be with you and I will teach you what to speak." There will never be a perfect time in your mind to do what God is calling you to do. You'll continue to make up, "Oh, well, this has to be right and I have to make sure this and this and this." You're going to try to line all these things up and this perfect scenario is not going to happen. The perfect time in all reality is right when you're being called to do it. The perfect time is right when you're being called to do it. Picture yourself for me. It's the start of a race, and you're in the starting blocks. Juan will know this. He's a runner. You're in the starting blocks, and you hear the sound of the gun. Boom! That means the race has begun. But you don't move. You stand there motionless. And you're waiting for the perfect time for you to move. You're like, "Nah, I think I'm going to wait. I don't really feel like this is the time for me to run." Or start looking around and scanning the crowd. "I wonder who I could give my spot to that is faster than I am. I wonder who, maybe that person or maybe that person." You try to find somebody better than you. But the race has begun, and you are being left behind. Get after it. Get moving and do something. Hebrews 12:1, I love this verse. It says, Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Or, theras. The race marked out for us. I love this verse because it hits exactly what I'm talking about. Every day you're in this race. Every day God is asking you to step out and do things for Him. Throw off your own sinful desires and the things of this world and get after what God is calling you to do. Our desires can so easily take precedence and priority in our life because our desires are good and we like them, right? So we go, you know what? I know God's calling me to do that, but this, I really want to do this. And this is my heart's desire. So I'm going to do this. And then God just keeps going down and down and down. God has a plan for your life. This is the race that's marked out for you. God leads, you follow. It's a simple phrase, but one that requires perseverance and dedication. It's not one to be taken lightly, and the same can be said of your time on earth. Do not take it lightly. Let me put this in the simplest way I can possibly think. Our life is not our own. We're not on this earth for us. Not at all. We're here for Him. I can't state it any more plain than that. We aren't entitled anything. We need to quit acting as though we are. If we read on the story of Exodus, we come to a point where God is performing miraculous signs and wonders to allow His people to be freed from the rule of Pharaoh. Moses was following God's leading in a great way, and he was asking the people to do the same. They were led by a cloud of smoke in the day and a pillar of fire by night. God was providing the way for the Israelites. God parted the Red Sea. He struck down the firstborn. All this for them. All He was asking them to do was move. Just to put one foot in front of another. He wasn't asking them to go against the armies of Pharaoh, to do anything. All He said was, I have made the way for you. Walk. That's all I want you to do. One foot right in front of the other. They did it. God provided the way and they followed. You know, I don't know everything that God has planned for your life. I can't sit here and presume that I do, but I know that He promises to give you hope and a future in Him, as He says in Jeremiah 29:11. I also know that God is right in everything that He does. I know that for a fact. So when He's calling you to move, His timing is perfect. And you can trust in that. When He's calling you to move, His timing is perfect. And we have to trust in that. I can tell you that trusting God is the biggest decision that I've ever made in my entire life. It changed me in ways that I never could have imagined. And all those ways are positive. Sometimes I feel like I'm being stretched so much I'll break. When I look back, all those ways are positive. Now when I feel God's leading in my life, I'm more inclined to follow it with excitement and anticipation and see where He leads me. Some of you know me pretty well. Some of you don't know me hardly at all. 8 years ago, I was a metal-playing, God-hating person. Just 8 years. And some of you who have older children, that 8 years can go by like that. Right? And in that short a time. It was one small step. I just put one foot in front of the other. Minute to minute. Hour to hour. And day to day. Constantly striving what He wanted me to do. I'm telling you, I'm living proof that God doesn't make mistakes in when and where He leads you. 5 years ago, God was leading me, and at first I fought it. I was asked to be a part of the high school youth group as staff. Ladies and gentlemen, I did not want to do it. I was like, I got, just come, be a fly on the wall. So I came, and I did not like it. I thought, there's no way I can't relate to these students. I can't bring anything to them. There's just no way that I can do this. But that changed very quickly when I realized that I just had to let Him lead and allow Him to speak through me. And He would go with me, and He would give me the words to speak. Then, a little bit later, 6 or 7 months later, I was asked to play for worship team. And I had really never sung a note in my life when I was asked to sing. So, okay, one small step in front of the other. And God led me to places that I never, ever would have dreamed of. I never, ever would have dreamed of. 2 years ago, I felt God leading me back to youth. I had dropped off for a while. I had a birth of a kid, some other things. And I just felt God was really leading me. You need to go back as staff to youth. You need to go back as staff to youth. That was actually almost 3 years ago now. Okay. So I went back. And it was God's plan for me to run the youth group, not just to be a staff member there. And I'm like, I can't do that. I know, but I will go with you, and I will give you the strength. And then 6 months ago, I was named the associate pastor of this church. Thinking again, I can't do this. But looking back at all the times that God has lifted me up and strengthened me to do the things He's asking me to do, I can now look at it with anticipation and excitement, going, God, okay, You lead, I'll follow. This is going to be an amazing journey, and I know that You're going to be with me because You've told me that. I'm not telling you this to make my life seem grand or to try to puff myself up. That's not why I'm doing it. I'm telling you that I was consistently taken from my comfort zone and asked to do new things. Things that I didn't think that I could do. And every single time when God led, He used me in a way that I never thought possible. The more I depend on Him, the more faith I have on Him, and I understand that it is His strength and not mine that allows me to do the things that I am able to do. It's not me. If it was me up here, people would be scattered. It would be not good. It's Him. It's all Him. As I'm moving through this journey in my life and I'm running to this next door and I'm going, oh my gosh, it's going to be open. I've realized that God has already unlocked it. And God is breaking down barriers and opening doors, places that I would have never dreamed. It's so amazing. I tell you this because I want to give you courage and encouragement to step out of your comfort zone and to do what He's calling you to do. I never thought in a million years, 8 years ago, that I would be an associate pastor of this church. I would have laughed you out of wherever we were. I would have walked away from you and thought you were absolutely crazy. But that's how He works. He's like, my plan, it's right. It's correct. Trust me. I think if we would all just realize our place in this world, our place in the grand scheme of things, we'd stop doing all these things for ourselves and do a lot more for Him. To run the race with perseverance. Don't give up. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on Him. Understand that He's going to provide the strength for you to do it. Strive towards what He is calling you to do. Strive towards it. Work towards it. Look for it. Look for His leading in your life and not your own. There are many times in my life I'm like, oh, that must be from God because that's amazing and I would love to do that. And as I sit and I pray and I seek His guidance, I realize that it's me that wants that. It's my desires. Again, like we talked about, my desires are pretty cool. I really love my desires. And sometimes I can mash them as God's will for my life. Acts 20 to 24. This is one of my good friend's life verse. It says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. This is the Apostle Paul speaking about his own life. He understood his place in this world. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. This man was focused, determined, resilient, and above all, humble. A true servant of God. Where do you land within this? What do you consider your life to you? Like, what do you consider your life? He considered his life worth nothing to him. But how do we get back to that? That doesn't mean that we don't care about ourselves. But this life is not about self-preservation. It's not about how we can be the most comfortable. It never was, and it shouldn't be today. It's about following God. So I'm going to give you the definition of the word follow. I looked it up. What does it mean to follow? Number one, it says to go, proceed, or come. But number two, and this is the one I really like, it says to engage in as a calling or a way of life or pursue. A way of life. When I read this, I began to think of how my life is going, to look inward and ask myself the difficult questions. Is God my way of life? Or is it my way of life? And then I'll go ahead and stick God in wherever he fits in. Am I pursuing God? Do I strive after him in a way that's deserving of the opportunity that I've been given? Listen, you have breath in your lungs. You have an opportunity right now to do what God is calling you to do. I know that the way is difficult and narrow that leads to life. And sometimes that freaks me out. I know we don't serve a God that only cares about your works. I know that. But it begs the question that we should want to do these things for him out of love, not out of desperation. Faith without action is dead. So your faith should cause you to have action, to go when God calls you to. If you aren't moving and doing the things he's asking of you, turn your gaze inward and ask yourself the hard questions. Do you have faith? And if so, why aren't you moving? I know sometimes this is a difficult pill to swallow, but this message was never meant to go down smooth. A spoonful of sugar is not going to help this medicine go down easy. I feel as though I'm doing you a disservice if I get up here and I dance around the issue while we continue to go through our lives motionless. Do you see why I have a sense of urgency? I consider being up here and being able to speak to you a privilege. It's a gift from God. And I don't want to squander it with a warm and fuzzy message so that we can go home and continue to put God in the background of our life. If I have to offend some of you to get you to move, then I'm prepared to do that. If I have to ruffle your feathers to cause you to take action, then I'm okay with that. If you're upset or convicted, it's not me that's doing it. It's the Holy Spirit within you. Take a moment, reflect, and look inward. We have such an amazing task and privilege set before us. We should be excited about what God has in store for each of us. There's places to serve God right here at Grace, to serve each other right here at Grace. We have a wonderful STARS ministry, nursery and toddlers, junior high, senior high, men and women's ministries that all need people to serve. I'm anxious and excited to see where God leads you personally, because I know that when he leads you, you will be used in an awesome way. Be excited that when you feel his leading, that his timing is perfect. He is never wrong. So with that being said, what is the task that God is laying before you? Don't know? Try asking him. Asking him to lead you. Pray the prayer, God, you lead, and I'll follow. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time, God. Thank you so much for your leading in our life, God. Help us to always be mindful of that, God, to be mindful of your guidance in our life, God, not to try to do things that we want to do, but what you want us to do. God, help us to trust in you, to understand that our faith without action is dead, Lord, and that we do have faith in you to cause us to move, to serve in this church, to serve our community, to serve you. God, we have one chance on this earth to make the most for you. Don't let us squander it. Convict our hearts and our minds. Challenge us so that we leave here changed. God, if we just take this message and we go home and we stick it under the bed and we continue to do what we've done, Lord, then what? God, help this to be on our minds like a splinter invading us so that we have no choice but to recognize it every single day. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.